moving away from being client-facing and moving from truly from a public role into an industry role. But what I found, and something unique with an industry role, was you really feel like you're on the same team with everybody. Now, accounting firms, they say one firm, one goal. Absolutely, that's true. But you're in these pockets. You have your little teams, you have your little pods you work with. But going to a small company of only about 40 people, it's fun to see, okay, everybody here is driven to make this company better and successful.
Welcome to Beyond the Ledger, real conversations with people driving business forward. I'm Troy Ashby, CPA and host. Each episode, we unpack stories, challenges, and insights from today's top accounting and finance leaders. This podcast is brought to you by my friends over at MarketScale.
Welcome back to Beyond the Ledger. Today's guest is Skylar Floyd, a CPA who built his foundation in public accounting, spending 8 years in the middle market space. A few years ago, he earned his seat at the table at Lenslok, where he now helps drive financial strategy in a fast-evolving public safety tech space. Skylar, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've known each other for a couple of years, but before we dive in, really just want to hear, if someone were to look at your LinkedIn or your resume, what's something that they couldn't tell just from that?
One thing you really can't put on a LinkedIn page is the experience you've had somewhere. And I credit a lot of where I am now to my time in public accounting. Mm. Being in the middle market space for about 8 years, seeing companies all the way from startups to even $50 to $100 million in revenue, but seeing how small businesses work, how they operate, how they grow and change over time. I think there's so much value in learning about the financial world and the corporate world in a setting like that. And I think you can't put that on a LinkedIn page because the LinkedIn is going to show, what did you do with debits and credits and financial statements and audits and tax returns? But it's the experience in the field, in the public accounting world, that you get that I think can really make a difference and build a great foundation for a career.
Let's use that as a great stepping stone early in your career. Public accounting, you spent 8 years, 10 years?
About 8 years. I did a couple years in audit, and then I said, hey, let's pivot. Let's try something else. I got the CPA behind me. That was a big accomplishment. I went into M&A. I did that for a couple of years. It really wasn't my flavor. I learned a lot. I got to travel and see some really cool places. I got to touch some new industries. But long term, that wasn't what I wanted to practice. That wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah, was that on the due diligence side?
It was financial due diligence.
What was your interest to make that switch?
Into FDD?
Yeah, into that, and I know back out, but what was the drive or the desire there?
Well, audit in the staff and early senior positions, at times it can feel mundane, it can feel repetitive. Granted, you're learning a lot. You're really developing a great skill set, a great network, a great base. But I said, hey, I'm young. I've got an opportunity to go try something new. Why not? Let's do it. Let's try something new.
Got it. And then you realized it wasn't you said cup of tea or whatever it was.
Yes.
It wasn't your thing.
Yes.
Now, did you stay at the same firm to switch back to audit?
I did not. I changed firms, but I went back into audit, and that was the best decision I ever made.
Got it.
It really was.
Awesome. How was the transition back in?
It was a little weird, but at the same time, it was a little bit comforting. Mm. I went back to software I had used before. I went back to a lot of processes I already knew.
Yeah.
So, yeah, certainly new people, new clients, new workplace, but a lot of familiarity. So I felt like I was able to pick up where I left off with a completely new mindset, with a broadened skill set. So that transition back into audit, I think, is what really pushed me forward.
Got it. Okay. So before you left public, were you at a manager level or a senior manager level?
I had done 2 years at manager.
2 years at manager. Okay. That's one of the harder ones, senior manager being the next, right,
yep.
To transition into industry. But you literally walked out and got a seat at the table at Lenslok. Talk to me about, one, what that process was like, but then two, the learning curve stepping into that seat straight out of public?
Yeah, the process was a lot to learn. It was moving away from being client-facing and moving from truly from a public role into an industry role. But what I found, and something unique with an industry role, was you really feel like you're on the same team with everybody. Now, accounting firms, they say one firm, one goal. Absolutely, that's true. But you're in these pockets. You have your little teams, you have your little pods you work with. But going to a small company of only about 40 people, it's fun to see, okay, everybody here is driven to make this company better and successful.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Lenslok.
Lenslok's it's a great company. It's been around 10 years, going on 11 years. We're in the public safety space. We provide body cameras and in-car video systems to police officers. We have about 500 customers throughout the United States. Whenever they're done with the shift, the footage they take from their body camera or their dash camera goes up into the cloud, and then we help manage that data for them.
Okay, so is it on the software and hardware side?
Yes. Okay. We provide them with the hardware, and then we also house the software for them up in the cloud.
And I can only imagine
or house the data for them.
Over the last few years, that's been more and more necessary.
It is, and we're starting to see legislation throughout the United States push all police officers to have body cameras and dash cameras in their vehicles. So it's a growing industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're leading financial strategy. Talk to me a little bit about, like, high level, kind of what you're in charge of over there.
Being a small company, I think everybody wears a lot of hats. Of course, I oversee the financials and that whole process and that whole strategy. But in a small company like this, finance is very tied into operations. It's very tied into sales. So finance does not sit in the corner and reconcile accounts all day, pay vendors, and invoice customers. Finance is on the front lines of closing a deal with a customer, coordinating getting hardware shipped out and set up. So that's been a big change from public, because the numbers aspect is only a small piece of what I do.
That makes sense. So roughly, are they in the lower middle market space?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, you wear every hat.
Yes.
No, you wear lots of hats, and sometimes hats that you didn't know you had.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. So you are 10 years into your career. You have a really interesting perspective, because you were recording this in 2026. COVID happened in 2020. So right in the middle of your career, turning point, differences, changes. Talk about a little bit about how you've seen, the beginning of your career versus the second part of your career, and how COVID has changed the workforce.
It's changed it a lot. From my experience, I'm very thankful that I got to see the workforce before COVID, or the working world before COVID. And then realizing some of the benefits after with more remote work. It was important for me earlier in my career, before COVID hit, to be in the office every day or on site with a client. There are so many things, so many strategies and tactics and soft skills to be learned being in the field, being at work with your superior. I always felt in public, you don't learn how to perform at the next level by doing your current job. You learn how to perform at the next level by watching your manager, learning from your manager, seeing how he or she does things and handles certain situations.
Yeah.
So we had that set up for a while, and then you're right, boom, COVID hit, and everything was crazy for 2 or 3 years. Having had that experience, I'm glad I had it, but now I appreciate more remote opportunities. The world has learned to operate in a remote environment, and coming out of COVID, I think a lot of places struggled with accountability at first. How do we monitor people from home? What are they doing? How do we know they're working? How do they know that we're getting their work done? And while every organization is going to be different, it does seem that the workforce has evolved, and we have figured out, for the most part, how to be efficient and productive in a remote environment.
Yeah, I've actually seen through the interview processes that I help my clients with, there's a little bit more vetting on making sure that person is who they say they are, because they do have a little bit less oversight. You give them a job, you give them a role, and trust that they can get it done. With that said, I will say that DFW is leading the charge on returning to the office, and I think the flexibility, though, doesn't change. I think the opportunity to get on remotely and virtually that wasn't really as popular before has been huge. But you said it best. You learn the next job by observing your boss or taking things off their plate. And so the interesting, you know, book comes out in 5 or 10 years to see the evolution and what's changed and even how it looks.
Yeah.
Because I, too, kind of missed the pre-COVID days, but I really enjoy the flexibility that comes along with the technology that we've had.
Yes.
You were in public accounting, too, but you've now been sitting in this leadership seat, the C-suite. Accounting grads are low. AI is coming around. We could hash it out, and everybody has their own very strong opinions. But what is Skylar's opinion on what's going on with accounting today?
You know, I see mixed things. We hear, accounting enrollment is down. X percentage of CPAs are going to retire in the next few years. How do we backfill that? The enrollment numbers in colleges aren't there. So you hear that side of it. But then 5 minutes later, you hear, AI is going to do accounting, so we don't need accountants anymore.
Yeah.
So now, what's the truth? It probably lies somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see how some of these accounting firms are on the front lines of how they're doing their recruitment now.
Sure.
Because I think recruitment numbers look different, and what firms are looking to hire right out of college is starting to look different.
Yeah.
And then what are universities going to do? What are accounting programs going to do to prepare students for what the big four want now versus what the big four wanted 15 years ago?
That's so true. I mean, I think as long as the accounting industry is adjusting and pivoting, still attracting the right talent. But then what does that talent look like? Because AI is moving fast.
It is.
I mean, it is lightning fast. And only, well, who knows what it's going to look like. But the accounting career has to keep up.
Yes.
And I think they've made some adjustments, and some universities better than others. But I think overall, they're making some strides. All right. So talked about pre-COVID, talked about public, all these moving parts. You've also, not that long ago, you took on a new job, dad.
Yes.
So talk to me about that perspective now as a dad in the work world, and what goes along with that?
I think what is important now, starting a family, is you want balance, you want security, you want some form of predictability. Obviously, a baby throws a monkey wrench into your routine.
How old is she?
She'll be 10 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So much fun, obviously, but it is more work, and it requires good time management skills and requires to plan out your week a little bit more thoughtfully. So, you know, I've appreciated a remote work environment, a more flexible post-COVID environment.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Absolutely. 10 months. What's she doing? What's the new thing that she's doing right now?
She is kind of crawling.
Yeah.
Not fully. She can't just go across the house yet, but she can kind of scoot a little bit.
Yeah.
She loves to stand at the coffee table and play with her toys.
I miss those days.
She's
man.
Standing quite well.
Yeah. Yeah. Balancing act. Balancing act. Yeah.
Yep.
I love that. What's her name?
Margo.
All right, Margo, your dad's doing well. So it's funny, after I had kids, mine are 13 and 14, it changed some things that I had no idea what I didn't know before I was a dad. And what the expectations I may have put on my colleagues or teammates, supervisors, or subordinates who had kids, and I didn't fully understand it. Has that changed your perspective? Have you had those aha moments?
A little bit, yes. We do a good job of kind of sticking to an 8-to-5 type of schedule.
Nice.
But thinking back to the public accounting days where it was tended to be more hours, ebbs and flows throughout the year versus kind of a flat, steady workload, I can see how that would absolutely present some challenges for working parents.
So was this timing on purpose then, leaving public? Because, you know, it's about a year after you left.
It was somewhat thought out, yes. But at the same time, I had spent 8 years in public and I enjoyed all of it. I developed a great network, have some wonderful mentors, developed a good skill set, very broad exposure to a lot of different industries. So I appreciated every minute of that. But I was looking to say, okay, what's next? I'm not sure I want to do this for the next 30 years. Let me go try something different.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's the best place to be in too, is if you're not actively looking, but an opportunity lands in your lap and then timing just happens to work out and you developed the right skill set. So talk to me, if we were to share what you're looking down the road 3-5 years from now, what does that look like for you?
You know, Lenslok's got some exciting things ahead of it. The biggest thing being a growing industry where police officers have a need for our hardware and our services, for body cameras, for dash cameras, to have access to that footage. Instead of having a he said, she said battle in court, let's pull up the body cam footage. Let's see what it says. We're seeing states push this very hard, and even at the federal level too, it's being pushed. So we're in a position to continue to gain market share in a growing industry, and we're trying to position ourselves to continue to be more successful.
Yeah. Wildly exciting. Wildly exciting. I mean, we saw it recently with a famous person in the body cam and what that may or may not do, but it does provide that independent, mostly independent. I mean, it's just recording. So if you, outside of being there, it's pretty wild. So kudos to you for finding Lenslok and for them starting it up. And I'm excited to keep watching as well. I keep poking around after you and I met just to kind of see what's going on. So it's exciting. So now we're going to move into what we're going to start calling the final three. And you don't have to answer these fast, but it's just our closing three questions. I want to know if there's just something that you know that really accelerated your career that might help somebody else.
I think getting an opportunity to work at a small company is a great way to advance your career. It's a faster way to get exposure to upper management, to the board of directors. It's a faster way to work your way up in your department, and that gives you exposure to other departments as well, other functions of the business. So I think there's a lot of value in small businesses. People often get attracted to large companies by the name and the status or a good benefits package, and all of those things are wonderful, but there's a lot of advantages. There's a lot of pros to small companies as well.
Yeah, being a bigger fish in a smaller pond, taking on more than you've probably seen more than a lot of people see maybe in their careers. That's great. So moving on to the next question. This is like lightning round. Regarding either hiring, I like it from the hiring front, but if you want to do it from your perspective, I want to know how somebody would stand out on your team.
A can-do attitude goes a long way. In a world now where we have access to any information at the click of a button, I believe that a good attitude and bringing a can-do attitude every day to work, being flexible, even sharing your thoughts and opinions and being an overall good team member is now more valuable than knowing information or facts or being a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah.
You know how it is now. You pull up a Google page, you type in something, and within half a second, you have the AI generator that's told you most of what you need to know.
Sure.
So who's going to show up to work every day with a positive attitude and ready to make the team, the department, a function of the business or the business as a whole, who's ready to try to work and make that a better place?
Yeah, you know, those people have always stood out, but I think you're right. It's the one that raises their hand, that takes on the next project, that is not the yes, sir, but how can I help? What can I do to be a part of it? That's awesome. That's a great nugget. And then final question, What are you excited about right now?
I'm excited about staying at Lenslok for a long time. We have a long way to go with this company. We can do some really cool, some really exciting things with new technology. We're always working on developing newer and better hardware that's more rugged, that's going to last longer, that's going to record a better picture, that's going to record better audio. There are now, in our space, there's AI features coming out that...
Of course there is.
Yes, of course, that these police departments are interested in, and it's high tech. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, the development of this stuff can take years, and it's always getting better. It's always improving. Body cameras really started to become popular 10, 15 years ago, and now they're becoming more popular. They're becoming more necessary. So we look to continue to be a big player in this market.
Yeah. Well, it is really exciting. So if somebody wants to go check out Lenslok, is that LENSLOCK.com?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's pretty easy. It's just like it sounds.
It's Lenslok.com.
Yeah.
You can click through the website, see what we do, see what we're all about.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes so people can find it, as well as your contact information if people want to reach out. But Skylar, it's been so good to see you and spend some time.
Thank you, Troy.
I'm Troy Ashby, and remember, people are more than their titles, and companies are more than their balance sheets. Follow Beyond the Ledger so you never miss an episode.